Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast with host Joanna Lewis from The Pharmacist's Guide. The podcast features conversations about wellness, including nutrition, supplements, skincare, and anything else on the shelf. On top of the importance of our physical wellness, we will also touch on mental and emotional wellness throughout our episodes.
Welcome to the On the Shelf podcast, where we feature conversations about wellness. Today, I am honored to welcome Camille Schrier. You may know her from her incredible journey to be Miss America in 2020 and 2021, and the one who gave science a platform when she performed the catalytic decomposition of hydrogen peroxide on stage as her talent. She also has an amazing social impact initiative to raise awareness around drug safety called Mind Your Meds, drug safety and abuse prevention from pediatrics to geriatrics. And of course, she also just entered her third year as a pharmacy student at Virginia Commonwealth University. And I know in the pharmacy world, there is nothing but pride. Welcome, Camille. Could you tell us a little bit about your journey from pharmacy school to Miss America?
Absolutely. First, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be a pharmacy student and especially represent the profession of pharmacy on this national level. And it's been such an incredible journey. So it's interesting. I had competed in a few pageants when I was a teenager and I got a lot out of them. And I think that there's a lot of misperception of what a competition like a pageant looks like for a young girl, especially in their teen years. I really learned how to interview. I learned public speaking. I learned how to be confident in front of people that I had never met before. And those were skills that I sure didn't have as a teen. And I think a lot of young people in general don't have it, maybe even some people in their professional careers. So getting that kind of hands-on ability to practice that as a young person was really helpful. And then I ended up saying, okay, I'm done with this. And I went to college and I wanted to focus on other things. So ultimately I went to Virginia Tech. I got a degree in biochemistry and another one in systems biology, which is like bioinformatics. I did 5 years of undergrad because nothing goes as planned in my life. And I always do things a different way. And I ended up deciding in my fifth year of undergrad to get a doctor of pharmacy. And that was really because I had interned with a pharmaceutical company as an undergraduate. And I didn't know that pharmacists could work anywhere outside of a retail pharmacy or a hospital. And it really opened my eyes to the opportunity of what getting a PharmD might look like for me. So decided to pursue my PharmD, went to Virginia Commonwealth University because I love Virginia, although I am not from there. I'm from Philadelphia area originally. And I wanted to stay in the state. So I went to VCU and I started pursuing my doctor of pharmacy. And kind of at the same time, Miss America changed a lot about what the competition looked like. And as someone who had kind of been in that space for a long time, I always admired Miss America because it's the organization in this country, first of all, that kind of started pageants in the United States. It was it started in 1921 as a swimsuit competition in Atlantic City. And it progressed a lot with women's culture. And for a long time, I admired it, but never really thought that I could participate in it for a variety of reasons. I felt like it was a little bit too centered on physical beauty and physical characteristics than what I was interested in participating in. And it also had this talent competition that I didn't necessarily feel like I had the right skills to be able to kind of enter in. So I'm in my P1 year at VCU. I noticed that they've now gotten rid of the swimsuit competition. They got rid of all of the physical judging criteria. And, you know, in my mind, I'm like, oh, maybe I could do that now because that was something that was really important to me. I'm someone that has struggled with my mental health and kind of my body image. I struggled with an eating disorder. So I didn't really want to put myself in that space because I had spent so much time trying to get myself to a place that I was healthy. And I didn't want to put that pressure back on myself. So ultimately, long story short, I saw an advertisement on Facebook during lunch one day in my pharmacy building, and it was for the last local competition heading to Miss Virginia. And it's kind of like high school sports is how I just describe it as. So you win your local competition, you get to go to the state competition. And if you win that, you get to go to the national competition. So this was the stepping stone to become Miss Virginia. And it was like 2 weeks away from when I saw this ad. And I was like, you know what? Life's too short. I'm going to do this. And I called my parents, specifically my mom. And I was like, I'm going to compete in this competition. She's like, what the heck are you going to do for the talent competition? And I'm like, I am going to do a science demonstration. And she's like, that's awesome. Cause she didn't want me to say I was going to like learn how to do a song or something or figure out some dance. Cause I don't actually do those things. And so I wanted to do something that I 100% authentically could do and represent myself, but also could be entertaining. So I'm like buying beakers and, you know, flasks and chemicals on Amazon. I get everything together in 2 weeks. I borrowed some dresses from a friend of mine that also competes in pageants. And I went down there and I won. And I was like, cool, I get to go to Miss Virginia now. And that was really the beginning of it, because 8 weeks later, I won Miss Virginia. And then 6 months after that, I won Miss America. So it was not something that I had planned on for a long time. It was kind of a spur of the moment decision to do that local competition. And then that led me down the path. I had to take 2 years off of pharmacy school, and then I'm back in and starting my P3 year this fall. So it's been a crazy journey, but that's kind of like the overview of how this has all happened for me.
That's amazing. And I love obviously how you chose science. I think, you know, being true to your roots was really, you know, what ultimately, you know, let your personality shine. So I know you are maybe not the first, maybe the second first America to serve 2 years, and also probably the first to ever go through a pandemic where a lot of appearances were probably not what they were normally. How did you adapt to all that?
Well, you know, the 2 year thing is pretty interesting. And I've looked into the history of Miss America, because it is a deep history of the organization. I know that I'm not necessarily the first to do 2 years, but in the 20s, there was a woman, Mary Catherine Campbell from Ohio, that won, I want to say in 1922 and won again in 1923. So she won twice. I didn't win twice. So, you know, we have a little bit of a difference there. There were many women that served over a year for a variety of reasons, changing the timing of the competition, things like that. But I do think that I'm the longest in the most recent history, and absolutely the first one to serve during a pandemic. Many Miss Americas have served during wars and other types of issues within the country, but this is definitely a new one. I will say my entire job shifted when COVID happened. I won in December of 2019. So I had about 3 months until March of 2020 when COVID really became a thing. And I remember coming home from Sioux Falls, South Dakota on like March 13th, 2020, which was one of those days where like the world shut down. And I landed and I remember looking at my schedule and having like 2 weeks that like just completely went off. And then 2 weeks became 4 weeks, which became months. And to go back, the biggest thing that worried me about being Miss America was how I was going to cope with the quantity of travel. You typically travel like 20,000 miles a month. I would change hotels like every day. I'd have to like get up, get ready and zip my suitcases before I went anywhere because we would have to go to the next place. So it was like, oh, make sure you have enough time to get yourself ready, but also repack all of your stuff because you have to leave with it. That was like a norm for me. I have a chronic disease and I have chronic fatigue, and I struggle a lot with maintaining my energy levels and kind of maintaining my body and keeping myself healthy and whole. So that was really kind of concerning and worrisome for me of how I would do that. So when COVID happened, despite the fact that it was clearly it was a difficult time for our country, I was kind of excited to have a break in a way. And then transitioning into becoming kind of a virtual Miss America, which is ultimately what happened when COVID really took over, was a really welcomed change for me. To be able to have a balance in my lifestyle of being able to work from my computer, manage my day in a different way, take a break when I needed, not stand as long. And I was able to do so many things that live on because they were virtual now, like virtual content that I created with PBS. I literally had my own TV show with PBS in Central Virginia called Cooking Up Science with Miss America. I got to create content with 3M. I did so many calls with thousands of students across the country in many different states in one day that I wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. And so I'm really grateful for the changes that it brought me because it allowed me to do this job in a way that fit my own lifestyle. And I would have never been able to do that if COVID hadn't happened. So I'm really grateful for the changes. I have to say that. A lot of people ask me if I'm disappointed. and I'm not. I think I've had the most unique experience. And I think that it's kind of on brand for me because I do everything in kind of a non-traditional way. So to have a non-traditional time as Miss America was really interesting. It was interesting also as well because the competition that I was supposed to crown my successor in 2020, which you crown the next year at the typically the end of the year. So I was Miss America 2020. I won in 2019. I would have crowned Miss America 2021 at the end of 2020. They had to cancel the competition because of COVID. So then my time got extended. And that second year looked a lot different for me because I was returning to school. So I wasn't necessarily serving in that full-time Miss America role. I was doing things kind of more sporadically. So I was able to transition back to my lifestyle as a student and then ultimately be successful. And then I crowned the next woman in December of 2021. So it's been kind of crazy to be the COVID Miss America. But I think being the science person that I am, it was kind of timely. So I think it worked out for me in a lot of ways.
I love that. Yes, exactly. I know you probably touched on it, but what was your favorite, like maybe your favorite thing about the 2 years?
I would say I have a couple things. I really enjoyed the times that I got to go into schools and share the demonstration with students. To see kids watch that elephant's toothpaste demonstration never gets old. And that's part of why I chose it, because it's really so exciting and visual that it can engage many audiences that aren't even that interested in science, because it's just so fun to watch. And for kids, they're like, this is crazy. How did you do that? And then I get to go into the science and explain why I love science so much. And hopefully the goal was really to be able to inspire those kids to maybe want to take a science career or learn more about STEM or even just see the relevance in their science courses in a different way. Adults also love it too. I've done it at conferences with adults. So I do my keynote address and then I'm like, do you want to see what I did at Miss America? And I can do the demo. So those were cool experiences. I did get to speak at the United Nations. That was an incredible opportunity that I never anticipated that I would have. And then kind of outside of that kind of work, I got to go on a USO tour, which is something that Miss America has done since the 1960s. The USO is one of those organizations that support our military service members, primarily active duty. Miss America had gone to Vietnam, had gone to Europe. There were troops of Miss America and other state winners that would travel and do these shows with Bob Hope for many years. And I got to continue that. And I did a primarily domestic tour because of COVID, but got to spend a week with our service members across many different bases in the United States, including Guantanamo Bay in Cuba, which was a pretty cool experience. And that was just one of those really iconic Miss America experiences that I hadn't necessarily had because of COVID. So that one was really cool. I've also done a lot with the opioid epidemic, and that's something that I'm really passionate about. So I've collaborated with the CDC, the DEA I've done a lot with, and I've worked with Dan Schneider, who is the pharmacist from the Netflix docuseries, The Pharmacist, which many of us in pharmacy have seen. So it's been, those are kind of some of my favorite moments and kind of activities that I got to do as Miss America. And a lot of those are still kind of continuing after my time is over.
That's incredible. I know I follow you on social media and I've just seen some amazing, like you mentioned, like the USO tour, and you can really tell that, you know, it makes a difference in people's lives. And I think that's amazing and wonderful. I know you said during your second year as Miss America, you started to incorporate school. What was your hardest transition back to that?
I want to say that the hardest transition was just getting out of my own head. I was really worried about being able to be academically successful when I came back. I think that stemmed from how difficult my P1 year was for me academically and just transitioning to a graduate program. I was like, how am I going to remember all of this stuff from P1 year? And so many people told me, okay, you know, P1 year is kind of that base. You're not necessarily going to have to draw on all that information for the rest of your pharmacy career. Once you get into your therapeutics, it's going to kind of be different for you. I was like, I don't know how that's possible. So it took really getting into it for me to realize that I was learning the information that I needed during those courses. And that if I needed to review something, I could. I came in with like all of the intent of like, I am not going to let this go bad. So I worked so hard when I came back. And it was interesting because I ultimately did better my first semester and second semester, my whole P2 year, did academically so much better than I did my first year. And I think that was for a variety of reasons, just the way that the courses had changed to be clinical therapeutics modules, but also having more perspective in life of like, wow, I'm really grateful to be here. I'm really lucky to be here. I'm not going to take this for granted. And I think for so many years, especially coming out of 5 years of undergrad, going right into graduate school, I was a little bit burnt out. And I just was like, okay, let's just get through this. But now I have a lot more kind of genuine passion for the subject and can see the relevance and have seen the people that pharmacy can benefit in so many different ways that it makes me want to learn it in a different way. And I think I'm more grateful for the stability of just being a student, although it's very demanding. It's controlled chaos, was kind of how I like to say it, compared to uncontrolled and unpredictable chaos, which was the last 2 years of my life. And I don't know, it just kind of puts it all in a greater perspective for me of student life and how grateful I am for that. And I don't know, just transitioning back into that life has been really wonderful for me. And I enjoy learning and I enjoy being able to kind of make a difference, I don't know, in the pharmacy community. So it's been cool. I will also say I haven't felt weird returning. I was like, are people going to treat me differently? Are my professors going to treat me any differently? And everyone has been so incredibly supportive. No one's made me feel weird and everyone's very respectful. And I think appreciates the work that I have done, but doesn't make me feel like I'm any different, which is 100% what I wanted. I was like, please do not like call me out in class. Let me just be like everybody else. And that's definitely been true.
They're going to school with a celebrity, right?
I'm hardly that. And that's where I was like, I hope that nobody feels like they can't talk to me or, you know, connect with me or be friends with me. Cause I actually came back into an environment in which I knew no one because the people that I had gone to school with in my P1 year or P4s on rotation when I returned. So everybody else, so the P3s, P2s, and P1s, I had never met before. So I'm now coming into a completely different environment where I don't know anyone. So I'm like, I hope that I can be friends with people and that they'll want to talk to me. And it actually worked out great. So I can't say enough good things about my own class and my university in general has just gone above and beyond in helping to support me academically and professionally.
And that's wonderful. And when you were talking about your P1 year, brought back some flashbacks. Like I remember that, like you said, it laid the groundwork, but every week was full of multiple quizzes, multiple tests. It never let up. And I do remember my second year being probably one of my favorites, but it was also one of the most demanding. So yeah, the fact that you were able to sort of slide back in. I know. I really want to highlight what you said about perspective. I think when we're in school, it's especially like a grad school, you are like engulfed in everything. And it's almost hard to see past like the next test. I just have to get to the next test. And taking that step back to think, what am I really doing that for? I think is a great takeaway.
And let me also say, there's plenty of moments where I lose that perspective because I'm so overwhelmed. And I kind of have a similar experience where I feel like we have at least two tests a week, typically, even in P2 year, that it's almost like, okay, I just have to like juggle all of these things. And sometimes I lose sight of why it's important, but I often have to kind of take a step back and I'm like, I'm doing fine. Yes. I'm going to survive. And ultimately, you know, I'm going to be able to look up a lot of this information in the future, as long as I know how it all works. So just kind of getting the general concepts and knowing how to apply them. And for me, especially going into industry, I'm there to learn and become the medication expert. So then I can go back into a pharmaceutical company and be kind of that wealth of knowledge for other people who maybe don't even have a pharmacy background. And I know that that's kind of going to be a different path for me. So I try to continuously be like, okay, I'm doing all right. But then I'm also surprised often how much knowledge I do retain, because so many of us, you know, we're in it and we're like, I don't know anything. And it's like, I really do. I'm doing fine. And so, I don't know, I've also learned just how to get through difficult and stressful situations in a different way, because I've had more practice with it. Being Miss America is a very stressful job. What it looks like, you are kind of taking care of everything yourself, in so many ways, and there's a lot less help than people would anticipate. So I've learned how to be self-sufficient and work my way through different things. So that was a skill that coming back into pharmacy school, I think, was really helpful.
No, And that's an interesting point too, because a lot of these front-facing roles appear so glamorous, but I know, even like you said, being in a different hotel every day, like there was a lot of work and paddling, like the duck paddling underwater, that goes behind the scenes.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was responsible for doing my own hair and makeup, figuring out what I was going to wear, getting my own wardrobe primarily. If I had a speech, I was writing it. I mean, like all of those things. There isn't necessarily the same kind of team that maybe you would think a celebrity would have, with like a stylist and like somebody that would, you know, write their speeches for them and kind of be the ghostwriter. That was like 100% on me and my family to do that, which wasn't unexpected. So I'm not saying that that's a bad thing. That's just part of the role. And I think that so many people assume that you have all of these other hands to help you, and that was not true. So you 100% have to be independent and self-sufficient and know how to do a lot of those things for yourself. You have to be really like multifaceted to be a good Miss America, to be able to have the ability to write, to, I mean, put yourself together, you know, in a lot of different ways. And not that appearance is the most important thing, but there is also the professionalism of being able to put yourself together for a certain event and look like the role that you're in. And I enjoy doing my hair and makeup and stuff like that. It's kind of like the variety of the things I get to do. So sometimes I'm doing like med chem, and other times I'm putting my makeup on. So, you know, it's a lot different, but it's definitely not as glamorous as people would anticipate. It's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of long nights. It's a lot of sleepless times and being tired and kind of having to just roll with it.
Yeah. I mean, and I know personally how much work goes into writing a speech, like
a lot.
It is a lot. So the fact that you did that many, many times over the year.
I mean, and let me tell you, I still do it. I have a presentation tomorrow that I'm doing a keynote, and I'm still doing that right now. So it's something that it was a great skill for me to be able to learn and kind of, I mean, I knew how to write prior. I've not always been the best writer creatively. So I'm more of like a scientific dry writer, but now being that person to give talks, I've had so much practice that now I'm able to kind of craft that in a different way. I also have a lot of like base templates now that I can work with and kind of modify. Gosh, it's something that I never thought I'd really be doing. And it's great because it now continues after my time. And that's the benefit, you know, being able to give you that platform to continue a lot of this work. I think that, you know, if you really utilize the job of Miss America, it's taking all of the things that you did during that year and continuing them. I feel like it's such a loss to finish your time and be like, okay, I'm done with all that stuff, and never work on any of the topics that you were passionate about, you know, then. It's like, we're keep doing it. Like if you see a demand for it, continue it. And so that's something that I've really tried to do as I've progressed past that role. And now trying to make myself as Camille relevant without a crown on my head, which absolutely is still true. And, you know, I'll always be a Miss America. I just don't necessarily have the hat on. But continuing to show people why what I'm doing is so important and being able to prove that. And there's a lot of interest still. So I'm really grateful, like what I'm doing this week. And I have lots of engagements that are coming up and lots of cool partnerships that I'm working on outside of school. So I literally own my own business outside of school right now, where I'm able to manage these couple brands that I'm now creating and a lot of my own personal engagements. So it's given me an ability to do that, which I never thought that I would do in pharmacy school. And that's kind of secondary to like my primary career goal. So I don't know. I have a lot of things that I do now, and it's much different than I would have anticipated 3 years ago.
I know, that's so exciting though. And even what you were talking about, like presentation skills and all of that, that,
oh yeah,
those are not just like 1 year skills. Those are lifelong skills that,
yeah,
you're going to take forever.
And that's kind of the thing where I talk about like the relevance of pageants. I think even just the word pageant gets a really stigmatized, you know, place in our society.
Polarizing. Yeah.
Yes. So I usually refer to these as competitions because that's a lot less polarizing and, you know, has a lot less stigma around it, because there's so much value in these types of competitions. When you think about kind of what I, you know, said before, you know, the interviewing skills, being able to present yourself, learning that from a young age. And I don't think that people necessarily can recognize always the real job of Miss America is to be a communicator. My job is to go out and share my passions, share what the organization does, and be able to tell my story. And that's kind of the value. Like I'm a speaker, because especially because I'm not a performer as much, that I'm going and I'm speaking. And when you think about the career relevance of that, it's pretty much impossible to argue that that is not going to propel you in your career, because there's almost no career that I can think of that having that confidence in speaking and presenting and being able to really communicate is not going to be valuable. And that's what the role does. Even if you don't win Miss America, if you're a state title holder, if you participate in the local level, if you're kind of honing those skills, even if you don't win, it's still a huge benefit for so many young women and allowing us really, especially as women, to be able to find our voice and advocate for ourselves in a professional environment so that we can propel ourselves in our career. It's also a really important skill for young men, but I think that providing that to young women along with scholarships, because that's really the prize that I won almost $80,000 of scholarship assistance. So it's really a great recipe for success for young women. I always like to remind people of that because they see me, or they did when I was in the role, and they would like, people would wave at me, like do the pageant wave. And I'm like, is that really what you think I do? And I'm like, it's so much more. And they're like, oh my gosh, like you're Miss America. Like, can I take a picture with you? And you know, I love doing that, but I think there's so many times that I come in and people just assume that it's like the pretty girl that's there to take pictures with them. And the role is so much deeper than that, especially as it's progressed through time and it's changed away from that heavily appearance driven type of role and changed into more of a social initiative driven, you know, role for someone to take. It's been great for me to see the progress that Miss America has made over so many years. And that's really why I wanted to do it too, because I was so passionate about the way that it had changed and the way that it was going to support young women. And I'm proud of that. So I'm glad that I was able to be a part of that and that I can continue to kind of share that story for many years to come.
Yes, you should be proud. I mean, to me, and the more I get to know you and hear you, you're like, you're such a role model for these girls today. I think that they can see that you can do anything, no matter what your background interest and the social change, like you're really using your platform for good. So, and we'll talk about that more in a little bit.
Yes, absolutely.
So the more I talk to you, I'm like, wow, she is doing so many things. And I know you had talked earlier in the podcast about, you know, you've worked really hard on your mental health. So what are those like day-to-day habits that really keep you grounded?
Yes. So I've struggled with my mental health for a long time. And I've had periods in which it was much better controlled than others. I've started to learn kind of what I need in my life to give myself the right environment to be able to have the best, you know, mental outlook. And that's come with a lot of difficult situations and failure where I'm like, this isn't working. So for me, the number one thing, and this is silly, is just getting enough rest. That's something that I think is so overlooked, especially when you're in higher education or just in undergrad or grad school.
It's kind of like, have like 10 tests a week.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, I stayed up all night for this. I can't do that. If I am not rested, I can feel my mood and my, you know, perceptions change because I just don't feel well. That has been like the number one thing, kind of proactively to take care of myself. Quite literally just like eating a balanced diet and exercising. I mean, we talk about endorphins. They're very real and they very much help. The other thing for me is stability in my life, being able to provide myself some structure. I am not a person that does really well with like the unknown. I've had to get more comfortable with that, especially in the role as Miss America. But there's also ways that you can provide structure in your schedule for me and in my day that allows me to anticipate things in a better way. If I can plan for something, I know that I'm able to kind of work my way through that situation in a way that's not just reactive. I want to proactively say, I'm going to plan in this way to allow myself to be able to cope with whatever situation or thing that I have to do. So like knowing that I have certain tests coming, I say, okay, I have it this day. I know that I'm going to plan to do my studying on this day. And then I'm going to be able to go to the gym here. And I'm going to go to the grocery store here. Just planning my life out many days in advance and being able to kind of take that, you know, that whole schedule and look at it and say, I can work my way through this. I get overwhelmed very quickly. I don't like to look at my calendar in the month view. I look at it in the week view. And generally, I know it sounds silly, but for me, I do that because I know that I am someone that gets overwhelmed. And so I prevent myself from feeling that feeling by breaking things down and kind of like eating the elephant one bite at a time, especially in grad school. And with so many things that we do in our lives, break it down because things are really overwhelming to look at. Those are kind of the things that I do primarily. I also will say I do benefit from medication, and that's something that I have, that has been a part of my life for about 10 years when I first really started to struggle and sought mental health, help professionally. I had been on medication for about 10 years. And then I had this wonderful opportunity to work with a pharmacogenomics company recently. It's called, the product is called ID Genetics, and it's a pharmacogenomics test that looks at the way that our body responds to different antidepressant and anti-anxiety medications. And it can kind of help predict if you're going to respond to one drug over another better. And I took the test, and it turned out that the drug that I had been taking for so long was one of the ones that was predicted that I would not have a positive response to and wouldn't necessarily be the most effective for me. And I've now gotten to change my medication regimen, and we're going to try to see if that helps me to better cope with a lot of the situations or maybe better controls my symptoms. So the ID Genetics test has been such a cool way for me to combine pharmacy with my own personal mental health. And now I get to work with the company and kind of be the patient and semi-professional spokesperson for them as a pharmacy student. So just kind of, I think the non-pharmacological therapies combined with the pharmacological therapies have been a great way for me to keep my mental health in a space that is positive. And I also just, as I've gotten older, realized that some things don't matter. That's also helped a lot. Again, putting things in perspective, saying, I don't need to worry about this. It's really not that big a deal. And just kind of taking value off of certain things and saying, I just have to take care of myself.
No, thank you for sharing that, because, you know, life just year after year gets busier. And
yeah,
if we're not grounded in those rituals or, you know, the self-awareness, you know, like you need to know yourself, like when does it become too much for me? Like, when do I need to say no? And I think that's, you know, thank you for sharing that. Such valuable insight.
Yes. And it's something that so many people struggle with. So I know I'm not alone in it, but I think people often kind of struggle alone and don't speak up and don't seek treatment. So I think that as much as I can share about it, I'm happy to.
Yeah. I think sharing stories is powerful. You know, when people don't, it makes people feel less alone, and that's really what ultimately drives change. So
absolutely.
Okay. So I know Miss America, again, we talked about all the skills you've learned and are taking forward. It can be a great launching pad. What does your career look like, or what is it going to look like?
Oh gosh. I mean, I have this direction where I want to be in the pharmaceutical industry. And that was because that was kind of where I started and what made me want to go to pharmacy school. But that's like saying you want to be in hospital pharmacy. It's like, there's so many different places that you can end up. And so I'm not 100% sure where in a pharmaceutical company I would want to land. I also wouldn't exclude like biotech companies or something like that, where I'd be able to kind of be the pharmacy representative, depending on what that company does. I love the combination of science and business and the way that we can make change and make products that are able to help people. I also think the pharmaceutical industry gets a really bad reputation, and often that comes from bad players that don't act ethically. But I don't think that that's true for every company or every organization. And I think that there's a lot of organizations that make really great change. We think of the medicines that, I mean, are just able to maintain chronic health conditions, vaccines, things like that, that, you know, we need for our own public health and to improve the health and wellness of our country. There's a lot of good. There's a lot of bad too. That exists too. And can I come in and be kind of an ethical voice that represents patients and what patients need from that perspective of being someone who's traveled the country and seen people that have struggled with substance use disorder and seen people that struggle in rural and underserved communities that don't have access to certain medications or can't afford them? Can I come in and do that in a way that will help to give that perspective in those companies? I'd love to do something that's more public facing. So I've kind of toggled with the idea of, do I want to be a medical science liaison? Do I want to do something where I'm kind of in the communications piece of a pharmaceutical company? Or do I want to be more on the business side or maybe medical or regulatory affairs. I'm not sure. So that's kind of going to be what I'm going to figure out in the next few years. I'm going to intern with a pharmaceutical company this summer and hopefully get a little bit more insight. That's kind of my goal, is to be like, okay, where are my skills going to fit best in this? I know that I can communicate. I know that I can kind of help to advocate for change, and I want to figure out where I can best use those skills. So that's kind of what it looks like for now. But also, I'd like to kind of grow my own business and endeavors at the same time. So if I could combine that and continue some of the personal advocacy that I'm working on, that would be great too.
No, that's amazing. And honestly, too, like, this is what I've learned. Like, your first job, it doesn't always have to be your last job. And even with pharmaceutical companies, I don't think people realize how many different positions they have and how many different positions a pharmacist can fit into and be very valuable. So I worked for a while in like the Research Triangle Park area, and there's so many pharmaceutical companies there, and just being aware of how many opportunities there are. So that's amazing.
I'm excited to see where it leads me. And so despite my wanting to be a planner, which is always my comfort zone, I'm going to try to let that piece of my life lead itself, because I feel like I'm going to end up in a position that will help lead me down the road. I have lots of people that I've networked with over the past few years that I think I'll be able to find myself a great role. And I'm not worried, because I have the education and I have the experience. So now I just feel like I'm going to, you know, find a place that's a good fit. And I'm excited to see where that's going to go.
For sure. Okay. So I want to circle back a little bit to mental health. Mm-hmm. And you said this in a conversation, and this to me just really shows like your mental resilience. When you were trying out for Miss Virginia, when you were first starting that, you were already in a good place. Like, if I don't win, I'm going to be okay. Like, I've already had this great platform. I'm always already doing great things. And can you just expand upon that? Because I thought that was so insightful.
Yeah, I kind of entered all pieces of this Miss America journey with the mindset of, if I don't win, that's totally fine. I'm just doing this as something that I'm going to do for myself that could give me a great opportunity, but I don't feel like it's an end all be all for me. And I think having that perspective going in, I keep saying the word perspective, I know, but it's just been so much of how I've gone through the past couple of years. But going into Miss Virginia or Miss America, I didn't feel like if I didn't win that my life was going to be over. I didn't feel like it was the only thing that was going to make me successful. And I do feel like a lot of people that compete in these types of competitions have that perspective of, this is going to change my life. This is going to be what makes my life. And I didn't feel that way. I felt like I had so many other positive things that I was doing that this was going to be a supplement. So it took a lot of the pressure off of me, because I just wanted to go out and do my best and tell them about all of the other cool things that I was doing. And I think that might've been what set me apart in a lot of ways of like, here are all the things that I'm already doing and I'm going to be a benefit to you. Not to be arrogant, but like, I don't necessarily need you. I'm going to show you all the things that I can give you. Because I'm kind of like, I think of it almost as a product consumer relationship. If I'm the product, which brand, which product are they going to pick to represent them? And I was able to go and show all of the amazing things that I was already doing because I was happy with where I was at. And then especially being Miss Virginia and going to Miss America, I'm like, if I come in last place here, I go home as Miss Virginia. So what I win, if I win here, is more scholarship money, greater opportunities, more of a national platform. But I also got to do a lot of those things as Miss Virginia. So I was just very satisfied in where I was. And that allowed me to take a lot of the pressure off of myself and allow me to just be myself. Hence, just do the science demonstration. Wear what you want to wear. Say what you want to say. Because I wanted to go and be me. I wasn't there to try to like play the system and figure out exactly what they wanted and like try to win. I wanted to win, of course, but it wasn't necessarily about that. So when I'm sure if I had been in the situation, which didn't happen, which is funny, if I had been in that situation where I did not win, I would have left and said, I did what I wanted to do. Now I'm going to go back to things I was already doing. So I think that in things like that, that was just a supplement. It wasn't me getting a job. It wasn't the difference between me getting in or not getting into a school that was going to like change my career path. This was something that was supposed to be fun, and it should be fun, and it should be you know, enhancing what I'm already doing. It shouldn't necessarily be my whole life. And I think that that's where I've kind of taken a different approach to this. I think a lot of people think that it has been or had always been my dream or wanted to be like my whole life. And it has never been that for me. It has always just been a piece of who I am. I don't want it to define my entire existence. And balancing it has been a great way for me to, you know, benefit from what it's offered, but also not let it kind of consume me either.
I honestly hope people replay that over and over because like that alone to me, I feel like, I mean, I'm a few years older than you and I feel like I have had to learn that so many times.
Yeah.
And I think when I look back on some of the big, amazing things in my life, it was like when I met my husband, even getting pregnant and all of that, and the job that I have now, it was when I was in a good place with myself. I was happy with myself. I didn't need that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's kind of when we're in that good mental space, that's when things fall into place.
Absolutely. I totally agree.
Well, thank you for sharing that too.
Thank you.
So before we end, and I know, again, we've talked about all the amazing things that you're talking about. Can you talk a little bit about Mind Your Meds and Her Royal Scientist? Because I think, sure. I mean, I just love both of those programs.
Thank you. I'll start with Mind Your Meds. And so that was my social impact initiative as Miss America. So it was the social cause that I wanted to support. And I created Mind Your Meds kind of as a representative of the work that I hoped to do. As a pharmacy student, I wanted to advocate for something that I was passionate about. And for me, it became medication safety in a lot of different ways. I grew up with a mom that was a nurse. And so she would always be very aware of any medications that I was taking and be very mindful of how I was taking them, making sure that she was reading the directions, not overdosing me on anything, not mixing, you know, multiple cough and cold medications with other like Tylenols or Advils or stuff like that. Simple things that like in the pharmacy space, we encourage parents to do and be mindful of. And she was doing that. And I realized when I got into pharmacy, how confusing it can be to properly administer or kind of manage medications for your child. If you're a parent that doesn't have a lot of medical background, or really if you're even managing it for yourself, it can be very confusing for people that are on multiple medications, for people that are taking things that they're not familiar with. Do they really get to counsel with a pharmacist? Do they really understand how to take something? There's also a misperception that everything that you get over the counter is going to be inherently safe for you. And that's also not true. And when I started to recognize that, I'm like, this is something that applies to everybody. And I wanted whatever I spoke about to be applicable to every person that I met. So that was kind of the first piece. And then I took a naloxone training course in school and I naively like didn't even know what naloxone or Narcan was. I mean, I had heard about it and I knew that it had to do with drug overdoses, but I didn't understand that it was like opioid overdose reversal medication. It's primarily a nasal spray. It's not typically an injection. It can come as an injection, but like Narcan is a nasal spray. And I'm like, I didn't know really anything about this. And I'm a pharmacy student. And I'm like, wow, we have a really bad opioid epidemic in this country that I never really knew about. And that's really naive of me to not know about, but I am sure I'm not alone in that. And I became really passionate about kind of combining those things. Cause I'm like, these kind of stem from the same thing in a way. It's like the way that these substances, whether or not they are prescription, potentially illicit, over the counter, substances can hurt us. And so how can we protect ourselves and others from these substances causing us issues in our communities or in our own health? So I wanted to kind of combine those. So I have worked a lot with the medication safety with parents and kids, but the opioid epidemic has become the primary focus of what I do with Mind Your Meds, just based on how relevant it is right now in our communities. Educating about Narcan, destigmatizing substance use disorders, helping people understand from a scientific perspective what an overdose is, what substance use disorder looks like from the brain perspective, and why people can't necessarily just wake up and stop using, because there's such a misunderstanding about how that works in our brain and that people can just stop. And I think that unfairly continues that stigma associated with substance use in this country. The connection between mental health and substance use disorders, how COVID has affected that. That's something that I wanted to do as a pharmacy student and I will continue to do. So that's a cause that I am continuing as a student and will continue as a professional, but something I did a lot with as Miss America. So that's my dramedics. Her Royal Scientist is my new endeavor, which is my way of being able to continue being the science princess post my role ending. And so I kind of became my own science princess. It's my, I have a character who's literally me with a crown on, and the crown has an Erlenmeyer flask built into it. So it's a science crown for a science princess. And my goal is to be able to show both young men and women powerful women in STEM and kind of normalize that, because I don't want it to just be about the girls. Because if we want to achieve equality in the STEM fields between genders, I need to show the little boys too that girls can be scientists and science princess too, so that when they get into their job, they're like, oh, of course, that's totally normal. We don't need to treat anybody differently. Like, let's get this completely out of our minds. And I think sometimes like segregating the women away and being like, okay, you should become scientists. Okay, great, cool. But we need to talk to the people that potentially aren't going to be super welcoming. I don't know. I've heard many stories about that happening in the workplace. So I think it's important to include both. Generally, Hero Scientist, I like to say, is a female-centered science educational brand. So right now I have my first product, which is a science kit that I made with COSI, which is the number one science center in the country out of Columbus, Ohio. It is the Her Royal Scientist COSI Connects kit, but there's also a learning lunchbox. Basically, half of them are for retail sale, and they have 6 different science demonstrations that I've created with them, one of which replicates the science demonstration I did to win Miss America. And other ones are really fun, like chromatography flowers and some fingerprinting, that people really get to understand some of the different facets of science careers and what that might look like for them. The other half are called learning lunchboxes, and they are publicly funded science kits that go to underserved students in areas that don't necessarily have access to science educational resources. And they became learning lunchboxes because COSI has been distributing them at food banks to kind of feed hungry minds and feed hungry lives, which is kind of the tagline that they have used. And so it allows students who might not have the ability to get those supplemental STEM educational materials to have access to them and kind of see, again, a woman in a science career, potentially they can see themselves in that too, because we know that science jobs are growing. We know that these are careers that can provide financial stability. And that can be something that for students that maybe are in underserved communities can help get them out of that place and allow them to have financial stability long-term and kind of change their life. And so that's something I'm really passionate about. So that's kind of the first product that I've created through this. And I think that there will be many more to come, but that's just kind of the venture that I have started. And the kits are really fun. And for anyone who's listening that wants to purchase one, you can get them at cosi.org/kits. And you'll scroll down and you'll see the pink Her Royal Scientist kit. They're really fun. And they don't have to just be for young girls. They're also primarily kind of geared toward the K-8 age range, but they can be beneficial for kids that are older or younger. You might just need to help a younger child with some of the demonstrations or the experiments. And they can be fun for older people. I had fun going through all of them and recording all of the videos that we did for each demonstration. You can kind of access the videos online through like QR codes in the kit. So it's just been such a fun project to continue a lot of the work that I was doing before and the passion that I have kind of to become the science princess, which I don't see a lot of science princesses out there. We have a lot of princesses, but none of them wear lab coats. So that's what I get to be now.
Oh, I love that. And as you were talking, I was like, you know, I have 3 boys, but I would definitely purchase that for them. I mean, they love, like, that's their favorite. That's one of their favorite subjects, like the volcanoes erupting whenever they do that in science class. And like you said, I think even now think about researchers in a lab, I think of, you know, a bunch of men.
Yeah.
And I think showing women and little girls that if this is your interest, you can follow it, you can pursue it.
Absolutely. Well,
thank you, Camille, for blazing this trail. I'm going to follow you on your pharmacy journey and your career journey, because I just think you're doing such wonderful things. And I'm honored that you were here today.
Thank you so much for having me and chatting about all of this. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to On the Shelf. Join us next month as we continue to talk to thought leaders and change makers in the world of wellness.